Welcome to Block in the Back. On this podcast, we chat about all things Dynasty Fantasy Football from leagues to rankings. Now don't turn your back, square up and get ready to have some fun and get your teams to a championship with your hosts, Tyler Fish and Ryan Paulish.
Welcome back to Block in the Back. I'm Tyler alongside Ryan, and we're ready to get back after it in the free agent world. We've got running backs, quarterbacks, tight ends coming at you today. We're going to talk about their landing spot along with do we like it, do we not like their situation, who else did they potentially hurt that we are high on. It should be a good one. Ryan, how's it going today?
Doing good. Excited for part two of the free agents. Obviously, last episode, there was a lot to cover with those wide receivers, a lot of fantasy-relevant players. Now they kind of it wasn't as hot as the wide receivers, but there's some still big names out there, some big fantasy implications that we need to talk about, and kind of get our input in. And maybe we can help you guys out if you're looking to go buy, sell, hold, things like that. Who's getting affected? Who's it helping? Maybe they left a team and it opens up an opportunity for somebody, or they're going to a team and crowding up a backfield or crowding up the QB room. So pretty excited to hop into this episode.
And I think Ryan's ready to go. He's got his Bush Latte, his Blue Smoothie, ready to go. That is not a sponsor there, unfortunately, as much as Ryan would like one. But, yeah, let's dig right into it here, Ryan. The first, the biggest running back in the free agent market that's signed so far is Aaron Jones, signed back to the Green Bay Packers. Something a year ago we were telling you to sell, and, you know, things have changed maybe a little bit, but I a year ago, I would have said he's not going to be a Packer. Then, you know, feelings kind of changed. I'm like, oh, he's going to take a pay cut. Well, it turns out he did not really take a pay cut. I think a lot of that money is up front. But he got a four-year, $48 million deal, 13 are guaranteed. I want to say that's very, there's dead money towards the end. So I believe those last year or two, he could get cut to get off the books. I'd have to look more into it. But Aaron Jones back to the Packers. Dynasty value, where are we looking at him now?
Well, I mean, this is one of those tricky ones that could be an outlier compared to what we typically say, Tyler, here on the pod, is those second contract running backs. We don't necessarily love them, especially if they go to another team, but Aaron Jones happened to go to the same team and staying with the Packers, where he's been productive, very, very productive the last 2 years, being a top five running back and scoring a lot of touchdowns. He's really involved in the red zone. He's involved out of the backfield in the passing game. This is a guy that's just had a high fantasy value and a high fantasy output the last couple of years. And I think this could be one of the exceptions to the rule. I mean, I do like that you did point out that I think he will be cuttable after about the first 2 years of his contract. And that'd be something to think about because he'll be age 28, 29 by then in the next couple of years. But I mean, for 2021, I like him. I do like him this year. I think he's going to have another great year. It's hard to judge if he's going to be another top five back. I do think he's another RB1 this year. I just think the way that they use him, the way that he has a knack for the end zone, I think you are looking at a top 12 running back. And yeah, at least for one more year, he's going to start to age out a little bit going into that age 27, 28 season. So I think you're looking at one more year of production, and I'd be definitely – I know we said this before, but obviously things have changed. He went to the same team, got a big contract in the way that he's utilized. But I'd say maybe after 2021, that's when I'd be maybe looking to get out from under him for sure. I think you're going to be able to still get a good bang for your buck. But this year, Aaron Jones is – I think he's going to stay red hot as he has been the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's got those Macho Man, Randy Savage – sunglasses. Is that the guy's name? I'm not a big wrestling fan. Did I say that right?
I don't know. I'm not a WWE guy. I might look yeah. like one, but I'm not.
Yeah, yeah, you kind of do. No, he wears those shades, you know, and he always says, I'm invisible in these. He just balls out. And like you said, I think if you're an owner, you bought some time. Your sell window just grew, right? And we're never huge fans of second contract, but I thought you summed it up really well. That four-year deal, realistically, you could have another year of good play with him, and then I'd be looking to get the heck out of there. So you bought yourself some time if you have not sold him yet. But if you're a contender, obviously, you're happy. He's getting touches there. If anything, this hurts the AJ Dillon breakout that everybody had hoped. He was hot there for a week, right? Everybody's like, oh, he's going to be the next back. His value was skyrocketing. And if you got rid of him during that time period, good for you. That is just, it's a head scratcher. The Packers draft last year, I'm not even going to go deep into that, but them signing Aaron Jones back, Aaron Rodgers being their guy, it is a continual head scratcher. That draft looks worse and worse. We're not going to, you know, get too deep into that, but that's brutal.
Absolutely. And AJ Dillon, God, I was never a huge AJ Dillon guy. I expressed that last year. I thought it was dumb. I just wasn't a huge fan of, and a huge fan of him. I mean, he's a big back, but he had one really good week. And after that, I was even thinking sell, sell, sell. And I don't have him in any leagues. I didn't draft him. I wasn't a fan, but now I'm kind of wishing that I did just for that sell window, because you could have cashed in there with AJ Dillon. Even when there was just speculation of contract talks, there was people that were just really high on AJ Dillon. So kind of wish I had at least one share so I could go out and cash in, but wasn't a huge fan to begin with. I do think this puts a big damper on it. He might step into a Jamal Williams role, which people are still trying to argue that. But how good was Jamal Williams for you in fantasy football? That's a good NFL running back, a good 1-2 punch in the NFL. But as far as fantasy goes, you're not starting a Jamal Williams type role guy out of the Packers backfield.
No, and I think, you know, I liked him, but I think people liked him because of where you could get him in that draft. So if we're going to rewind 1 year, AJ Dillon was a late second, third round rookie pick, right? And the fact that people were getting him there with the upside of Aaron Jones potentially leaving, like, that's what enticed a lot of people. And then he did ball out a couple of those games. So, it'll be interesting.
Do you remember the trade that I made last year? I gave up 205 for Dallas Goedert. And 205 ended up being A.J. Dillon. Now, Goddard's situation's changed a little bit with Jalen Hurts there. I do think that Ertz is gonna be gone there, but I like Dallas Goedert going forward. I still think that I would prefer Goddard over AJ Dillon.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. Last year I would have said the same thing, but I mean, Ertz is still in Philly, right?
For now.
Goddard, I do like the player. Right now it's kind of a coin flip at this point, right? If Ertz officially leaves, then you're like, yeah, this is exactly why I made that trade. So, no, I don't think any – I mean, that's – it looks good right now. Let's move on to our next running back, and that's – the next one we're going to talk about is Kenyon Drake, who signed with the Raiders, which was kind of a little head-scratcher there. Like, you know, you got Josh Jacobs there. Devontae Booker was the backup there, and Jacobs got a really large amount of touches, maybe too much for the Raiders' liking. Kenyon Drake, and they didn't use Josh Jacobs as much in the passing game as I would have loved, right? I mean, he, you know, for a guy that's receiving all these touches, he did not get as many touches out of, you know, in the passing game. Kenyon Drake, I think, kind of steals that a little bit. I think this move is more, they still love Jacobs. Jacobs is still going to be a workhorse. This is more, they wanted a guy that could come in into the passing game, feel comfortable. I mean, this isn't going to, you know, hurt his touches a whole lot, I don't think. But, you know, we aren't really big Kenny Drake guys to begin with. But I thought it was interesting, considering Josh Jacobs was there. But this is more about keeping Jacobs healthy than anything, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can get behind that. And Drake is kind of starting to get to that running back age, too. I think this will be his year 27 season. And Josh Jacobs is still only 23 years old. And I do actually – I really like Josh Jacobs. This does hurt him a little bit for me because they already didn't use him out of the backfield a whole lot. He had 33 catches last year for 238 yards, zero touchdowns. Kenyon Drake is kind of known for that back coming out of the backfield, even though Josh Jacobs was too. But I think they are going to try to utilize him in some capacity where his receptions could go down for Josh Jacobs. And I still like him because I don't think they're going to utilize Drake out of the in the run game very much. But even Jacobs, he's been on and off. Last year, he didn't have a great year as far as like yards per carry, efficiency, and all that, how that goes. He had a great juke rate and making people miss. But what saved him last year is his 12 touchdowns on the ground. So I still like Jacobs. I don't like him as much as I do with Drake there. And I just hope he doesn't dig into him too much. Or even if he can get the 20 catch range, 25 catch range, I still think that hopefully he'll be able to get enough done on the ground. But with Kenyon Drake's fantasy outlook, I wasn't huge on him last year. He actually did a lot better than I thought he was going to do. I think he was RB16. But that's kind of where what we were saying. People were drafting him early in the offseason last year. People were drafting him in the first round of startup drafts. And I thought that was absolutely mind-blowing. He was on our Dynasty Sell podcast. And even though he got to running back 16, I still think people were overdrafting him. And I think it's just going to go down from there. I see him as a back-end RB2, RB3 kind of guy in Vegas.
Boards actually.
Never mind. You cut out there for a little bit. What were you saying?
Oh, I was saying I think it's worth mentioning that Kenyon Drake, according to NBC Sports, is going to be used as a receiver, and I just thought that was interesting. They came out and said that. I honestly I think it's a decent window to buy low on for Jacobs, and you know, especially if you're running back needy, and you know, whoever the owner is in your league might be, oh God, they just brought in Drake. Might be a little frustrated. You could get him a little bit cheaper than normal. Just the thought out there if you're looking for running back and, you know, looking for somebody with some upside. He's still got it. So
he's going to be RB1 material. He's going to be the same age as Najee Harris. And he's already got he's going to be 3 years in the league. So he's got that experience. Wow. He's a young running back. I do like Jacobs. I had him pretty far up in my dynasty rankings a couple months ago, and he maybe slides down just a hair, but I still like him going forward for sure.
Yeah, you know, he's a nice player. I was big on him. That was my bold take last year, was that Jacobs was going to be the RB1, the number one scoring running back last year. Obviously, that did not happen. After week one, it looked like it, after he had like 40 points, but that did not happen. Let's move on to our next guy, and according to reports, it looks like Chris Carson did re-sign with the Seahawks in Seattle there. What are your thoughts on that, being a former Carson owner? Is he going to dominate touches in that backfield? I know he did not have the season last year that he had in the past. You got rid of him at the right time. But just talk to me about Carson here. I'm not sure how that team sees Carson moving forward. That's really an odd situation. I don't really love any running back there. You know, it could be a potential. Do they bring in another rookie? I don't know. What is Seattle doing here?
I think with the early talks of Chris Carson, it was looking like he was not going to be signed back with the Seahawks, and that would have, I think, just destroyed his dynasty value. I think this hangs on to it just a little bit. I think he's going to be a consistent player. I love Chris Carson's game. I love the way that he plays. I think he's an athlete. Just a workhorse, powerhouse kind of guy. Put your shoulder down, fall forward. I mean, in 2018, he was RB16, 2019, RB12, 2020, RB19. So I think his floor would be top 24. And people are going to say that Rashad Penny is going to be healthy this year. I'm so sick of hearing about Rashad Penny. You have no idea. They've been saying that since his rookie year. Chris Carson is a better running back. They want to use Chris Carson while he's on the team. They just signed him for a reason. I think he's going to have a similar role, if not the same role as last year. I don't think they go out and get a rookie running back. I think they have enough there. I'm not saying Penny's just garbage. So they're going to have Carson, Penny. They have DJ Dallas from last year. Who did they sign back? Is Alex Collins maybe still on the team or something like that? They signed in late. But I think they have enough where they don't bring anybody else in. They signed Carson for a reason. I do think he's a talented running back. So I think you're looking at an RB2 in my mind. I got lucky last year and was able to sell him for a first-round pick in the offseason. So I'm happy with that. I don't think you're getting that value anymore as a 26-year-old running back on a second contract that is about an RB2 kind of quality guy. But I think you're looking at very similar output to last year.
Yeah, I don't mind that take. I think if he's RB2, he's back-end RB2. Like his best days are obviously in front of him. So I could get on board with a back-end RB2. I think that's pushing it a little bit. I feel like that's just a team that's going to ride the hot hand. And, you know, if Carson's not healthy, they'll get somebody else in there. I don't know. I'm convinced they're not done. I think they do add another running back yet. I don't know. It's just kind of my feel there. That could just be a backfield that's just a mess next year.
If they add an RB early, so what if they grab one of those top three guys? I don't know if I love that, at least for the first year or two, because I mean, that just seems crowded to me. I mean, maybe they grab a guy in the third or fourth round, but even that doesn't scare me with Chris Carson personally.
No, I mean, I don't like that backfield right now to begin with. So if they were to add another guy, I mean, if it's one of those top three guys, I would like it because I think they'd run away with the job. But, yeah, enough with Chris Carson there. He's definitely – you got rid of him at the right time. That's all I'm going to say. A couple guys just that we could sprinkle on here. James Conner has yet to sign. Has a little interest from Miami, but it seems like every running back is interested in Miami and Miami has interest. So I don't know if I'm really buying that. You know, I thought he was actually going to return the Steelers on a friendly deal, and that has not gotten done yet. It kind of seems like the Steelers want to go in a different direction. I don't know, you know, Connor, just a hard runner. Is obviously his fantasy days are behind him, and he, you know, you should have cashed out while you could. I don't think he's ever the lead guy ever again. I think if anything, he's a ground and pound type guy, you know, short range, short third down guy, but I think he does have some upside for some touchdowns, but not a guy that you can be counting on to start. Another guy I want to just kind of bring up, and you can touch on both these guys, Rye. And the other one is Carlos Hyde, who ended up signing with the Jaguars, and that kind of scared some people. You know, especially James Robinson owners, like, what the heck? I just kind of want to put it to rest here. I don't think they didn't think anything less of James Robinson. It was the fact that James Robinson never came off the field. Not something that people should be sweating about Carlos Hyde stealing fantasy relevance away from James Robinson. It seems like the Jaguars really like him. I would be more concerned with the Jaguars taking a running back early in the draft, but that's not going to happen. James is their guy. You want to give us some thoughts here, Ryan? I know we kind of bounced two guys there. We're starting to get kind of lower tier guys here, so I don't want to talk too long on these guys. But James Conner and Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, so James Conner, I think that he's going to be done. Backup role from here on out, personally. If you're seeing a theme here for our listeners, last year's pod, I also pointed out that James Conner was a major sell candidate. So now we were wrong on Aaron Jones. Well, a year too early, 2 years too early. But with the last couple, with Drake, with James Conner, Chris Carson, you want to sell these running backs before they do hit these second contracts because their shelf life is short. I don't like James Conner's outlook going forward. And they actually signed. Not saying that he's better than James Conner, but they did go out and sign Kalen Ballage as well. Pittsburgh did. So, yeah, I'm not going to touch a whole lot on Conner. I don't think that he sees a starting role in the NFL. So it's going to be split backfield at best. I mean, he might be the goal line guy just because he's a bigger body. But, yeah, not – you lost your window on James Conner, in my opinion. And then going on to – oh, crap, who was the other guy, Tyler? Carlos Hyde, Jacksonville. I think James Robinson owners should be jumping up and down for joy that they went out and got somebody like this instead of one of those higher profile guys, instead of maybe not doing anything, because then you might be thinking they're going to draft somebody in the second round. So I think you should be excited about this. Carlos Hyde is zero threat to James Robinson. Tyler, you hit it right on the head. It's because James Robinson had the highest opportunity share in the entire NFL. He had like 81.5% opportunity share, which led the league. And yeah, I don't think they go out and get another guy. I think they signed Carlos Hyde because he's a capable running back to offset James Robinson. They have the depth now, and James Robinson is a guy. And, yeah, I think you're jumping for joy if they sign Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde's fantasy outlook, by the way, pretty much nothing. But, yes, I'd be very excited as a James Robinson owner.
Yeah, nice little opportunity share stat. Way to pull that in there, Rye. Maybe a couple more guys that we should – potentially touch on, and it's the fact that Todd Gurley has not been signed. So he's currently a free agent, you said, correct?
Correct, and I think we should pair him with who did get signed to Atlanta, potentially.
Mike Davis. Yeah. I mean, what do you think of this here? I still think – I don't think they go into the season with Mike Davis as their guy. So something's going on there. does Gurley return on a friendly deal? Are they done with Todd? It doesn't really seem like Todd has gotten a whole lot of interest on the free agent market. What the heck are the Falcons going to do?
I mean, I don't know. With Mike Davis, he did have a pretty solid season last year. Obviously, he was the workhorse because McCaffrey went out, but he was RB12 on the year. Kind of fell off toward the end a little bit. But I mean, he scored quite a few touchdowns. He had 8 total touchdowns on the year, had over 1,000 yards, was a great asset out of the backfield. And I think he is that aging guy where he's a very good complementary back, where I think that they are going to address this in the draft, potentially in the second round. And I don't know all their draft picks. I don't know where they're drafting, but I would not be surprised if the Falcons go out and get a running back in the draft. And that could be a very good landing spot for whatever rookie does go there, if it is a higher profile type guy. So you're right. I don't think they just rock with him in the backfield, unless they have some sort of faith that we don't know about in Ito Smith or Brian Hill, if they bring him back. And so, yeah, I do think they go somewhere in the draft. Mike Davis is a good player, but he's not – I don't think he's just some stud, and he's 28 years old. He'll be turning 29 next season. That is capping out at running back age, if you ask me. And I just – yeah, I don't see that thing going too far. He got a decent deal, 2 years, $5.5 million. But I just don't think that's enough to be that workhorse. I don't think he's got that in the tank again anyway.
Nice little Brian Hill name drop there. Brian Hill was the guy that they were, you know, Falcons beat writers and everybody else was hooting and hollering about last year as he was just tearing up camp. And then didn't really do a whole lot in season. But that is a name. Gotta just keep on your radar there. I mean, obviously he's worth going and snagging if they do not go with a running back, right? And they roll in there with Mike Davis. Like, God, I don't know. You know, nobody wants to pay running backs as much anymore. So could this be their guy? Maybe. But very unlikely. You know, we could talk Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay just signed with the Texans on a 1-year deal. And it's worth noting that David Johnson is not currently signed with the Texans. That entire organization is a dumpster fire. I think they're going to be playing a lot of games from behind. Philip Lindsay is not really known for his work in the passing game. So, honestly, I don't know. If you're having to roll with the Texans running back, you're probably better off rolling with the guy that's going to be catching passes there, and I don't know who that is yet, but probably not worth owning. So, Philip Lindsay, that team's a mess.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to go over there. It's just a name to keep an eye out for if they don't address anything in the draft for some reason, or if they don't sign David Johnson back. So yeah, I mean, we'll see where all that goes. But Philip Lindsay is worth noting. I would say when he did play last year, I mean, he popped off some nice games and had some big runs. He's an explosive player if he can find the space. So, I mean, if they don't address it, if he is even partially a part of that backfield, if it is a 50-50 split, he could be a bye week guy for you. So it's not like he's just going to be written off, I would say, but nothing that's going to be too spectacular for your dynasty team. I'm definitely not going out and buying anything in that Houston offense, to be honest with you. They don't have any draft picks. They might not have a quarterback. Will Fuller is gone. That whole thing is just a train wreck. So, definitely not going out and acquiring anything that's even close to Houston. I might not even go get a massage, if you ask me.
Ooh. Oh, boy, you had to go there, huh? And we are not going to dig into the Deshaun Watson
side. Is that too soon?
I don't know. It's either a terrible attempt at somebody's character or Deshaun Watson is a terrible person. I'm just going to leave it at that. So, let's move on to quarterbacks now, because that's the last running back I wanted to talk about. We were kind of going down there into the deep waters there. A couple of QBs worth.
Tyler, you
after he has weapons this year.
Talking about Fitzpatrick here, Tyler?
Oh, Cam Newton. I'm sorry.
Cam Newton. All right. You cut out just a hair there. No problem. Cam Newton. Tell me about him.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying, you know, they signed him back to another 1-year deal, which pretty much, you know, says to me it was on the weapons around him and not Cam. But, you know, and everybody's talking about, oh, they've got so many weapons. And do they? I don't know. I'm not. We already talked about the wide receiver breakdown there, right? And we haven't gotten to the tight ends yet, but it's just like, it's not like he's just surrounded by great weapons. It's, I don't know. I'm not really feeling the Cam Newton love. I'm still not convinced unless Bill Belichick is a genius, which, well, we know he is, but it's kind of looking like Tom Brady was the savior for him at this point. Real quick on Cam, because we're not going to spend too long in these QBs because I don't really think they're worth talking about.
No, Cam Newton, he's a back-end QB2, mid-QB2 at best, just purely due because he'll run it in on the goal line for you a handful of times in the season. But I'm not buying this whole weapons thing. I don't think the weapons are that good there. I think you got a bunch of mediocre receivers that need a good quarterback to make them good, and I don't think Cam Newton's that good quarterback anymore to make any wide receivers good. So – not really huge on Cam Newton. Got signed back to the Patriots. There's even talks about Patriots eyeing up Jimmy G, to be honest with you. So we'll see if he heads back home to New England, and that'll change things a little bit, because I do think Jimmy G is a better quarterback than Cam Newton. And that's not saying a whole lot, but that I'm just not – I think Cam Newton's his best days are definitely behind him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, his days are best behind him there. A couple other guys worth noting: Ryan Fitzpatrick signed with the Washington football team. And I think we kind of already touched on him last pod, how him pairing with F1 is nice. And Fitzmagic does have still some good football. He likes to sling it, man. So I do like F1, man. He's a stud. We kind of already talked about that. Last one worth kind of mentioning is Andy Dalton, how they've kind of said that you're our guy, Andy, in Chicago. And all, I don't know. We'll see. But Andy Dalton did sign there. I mean, the guy that you're really concerned about is Allen Robinson, right? Can Andy Dalton get Allen Robinson the ball? Yes, Andy is competent enough to get Allen the ball. Do I love it? No. Is it still okay? Yes, Allen Robinson will still survive and be a fantasy-relevant guy and a good one. So don't love it. Wish Robinson went somewhere else, like we talked last week. But Andy Dalton there. So we kind of already touched on those guys. Do you have anything to say about those QBs, or do you want to move on to the tight ends?
No, I love Fitzpatrick. I'm just slinging it. He's got the weapons. Curtis Samuel, F1. Like you said, Logan Thomas is a nice tight end and got the weapon out of the backfield with Gibson. So I actually don't mind this for a year. If you're a contending quarterback, pick him up or try to go trade for him. He's not going to be expensive, but he could be a nice – either a super flex play or just a backup quarterback for you on your one QB leagues. And then as far as Dalton goes, I think he's a competent quarterback, but definitely I think his better days are behind him, and they weren't even great days. So there's already talks about Chicago potentially going QB in the draft. So we'll see what all happens there. They might have told him that he's the guy, but we know how that goes. They also, as soon as San Fran traded up to number 3, they said that Jimmy G's the guy. But now Shanahan's at every quarterback pro day there is. So we'll see about that. So I'm not huge on any of these guys going forward. I mean, Fitzpatrick for this year maybe, but not Dalton going forward.
No, it's more about the weapons around those guys and how their fantasy impact is. And we kind of discussed it in the last pod with the wide receivers. So let's dive into the tandem of Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, both with the Patriots. And Jonnu, a first one to hit, and I'm a Jonnu owner. And I was like, he's getting a role. I wasn't a big fan of it. And then Hunter Henry gets there. And then I was like, oh, God, could it get any worse for both of these guys? You know, there's people that want that to be Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. That's just not what it's going to be. And they paid those guys a lot of money. We're talking Hunter Henry 3 years, $37 million. Jonnu Smith 4 years, $50 million. I mean, holy buckets. It's a head scratcher unless Bill knows something that I don't.
I think with those two tight ends, they're going to be they could very well be the top two targets. I'm not saying they're going to be Gronk and Hernandez by any means. I just don't think that the whole offense is going to work that way. But they could definitely be the top two targets there. I think they went out and got those quality tight ends to kind of keep those routes maybe a little closer to the line of scrimmage for Cam. I think they're both really talented. I think Janu is good with the ball in his hands. He's deceivingly fast. He's a big body. They're both pretty good at blocking. They're known to be that dual threat tight end. And I think that opens up a lot of options for the New England Patriots and what they're going to be able to do with play action and running the ball and keeping those routes short to the line of scrimmage. So I think this helps the Patriots more than it really helps your fantasy team, because I think that they're going to eat into each other and kind of cannibalize each other as far as fantasy points are concerned. So do I like it? Kind of. Just the opportunity. I just don't love Cam Newton. I like the idea, and I like it for like the football team. I think that they get better as a football team as far as their offense goes. As far as fantasy points are concerned, I think high upside, you're looking at one of those tight ends. I would maybe guess Jonnu Smith, just with the yak ability there and his explosiveness. I'd say he would be more of who I would be going after, and I think his top end tight end would be like tight end 10 on the year is kind of where I'm looking at his upside, and I think they could both cannibalize each other into like a high end tight end 2 into that 14-16 range for both of them. So I don't love it. I really don't. But I can see the upside. I can see what they're trying to do. So, well, I mean, we'll see where it goes from there, but I'm not going to go out and actively try to get those guys by any means.
That's really good analysis, Rye. You know, I don't say that too often about you. No, I'm kidding.
So it's tough to get a compliment out of you, Tyler. It really is.
Yeah. No, I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, you hit it pretty well on the head there, man. A couple other tight ends, and I want to ask you a question. So Gronk finished the year pretty well, and you know, especially in the Super Bowl there, and he signed back with the Buccaneers. Could this be a situation where, you know, Gronk jumped into football after taking the time off? Could this be a situation where now that he's got his legs under him, could he have a better year this year than he did last year?
I think he does have a better year than he did last year. I think he started off so slow, they weren't really using him the way that they should or could. And I think he shows he can still do it. I think so. The problem is OJ Howard is there. I don't know. This one's a tough one for me, because I don't really know what kind of role Howard is going to play. And is he even under contract still? I really don't even know.
I don't know, but he's coming off the Achilles injury, which is concerning.
That is definitely concerning. I think Gronk has a better year than last year. I don't know if he's – so when I say that, his finish was tight end 10 last year. And that's actually pretty surprising to see. At 623 yards and 7 touchdowns, I can see kind
of – touchdowns, I guess, made it.
Correct. I can see almost a similar year, really.
Do you think he does better than that?
I don't know if I can say he's going to be above a top 10 tight end option. I'm not going to go out and say that. I mean, he had a couple games with 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards. He had a 3-week span of a touchdown in each game. Now, that's just some pretty good stretches that he had that really boosted up those numbers. It was like boom or bust for him. I mean, he had a couple of weeks there. He went 16, 14, 12. Then he put up 0.7. Then he came back and scored 12. Then he put up 3.5. Then after that, he put up 13.6, went back down to 6, then 4, then went off for 18. It's just a little bit skewed for me where I can see him kind of just spreading those out a little bit more and becoming that top, I'd say, tight end 10 to 12, 10 to 13 kind of guy, where I think he's going to be a startable guy on your fantasy team for sure. In tight end premium leagues, he's going to be an asset. I just don't know how much I like him getting any better than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he puts up a similar year. Definitely starting caliber, right? And he ended the year really well last year. So, I mean, you have to feel good about that. So he's going to have those games where he scores those touchdowns and looks really good for you, and you're going to be happy. Last guy I want to touch on, Ryan, and that's Gerald Everett. Somebody who's just an athletic guy that's shown flashes, kind of got buried there behind Higbee's little breakout that one year, and then it's just like the Rams didn't use him right. So tell me about Gerald Everett and what he could potentially do in Seattle.
Well, first of all, I think there's a hole there in Seattle. I know people, a lot of people are going to say Will Disley's still there. I'm not sure if I'm really buying that. I do. I think Everett's a better athlete. I think you're able to use him in different facets in the game down the field than you are Will Disley. And I think with the opportunity there, I think you can really see him kind of coming across the middle of the field and catching those passes. And he's good with the ball in his hands, the yak ability. And I do like the fit. I'm not going to say that he's going to be a tight end one. I think he's going to be a good asset for you because, really, you can say anybody's got the upside to be a tight end one. I think there's a huge drop-off after, like, the top four tight ends. And then, really, anybody's got a chance. Who's it going to be? You're always saying, oh, he could be top eight. Oh, that guy could be top eight. And then you realize there's about 15 guys in the top eight. So Gerald Everett could fit that mold. He could slide into that bottom tight end one kind of guy, but I think I more see him in that tight end two range, the upper echelon of it, probably with the opportunity that he's going to be given. I do think that this opens up a window for Tyler Higbee, though, as well. Now that he's gone, he's out of the picture. This could provide a little bit more of an opportunity for Higbee, and you got Matt Stafford there, who I think is an upgrade at quarterback from Jared Goff.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Higbee is a guy that should be on your radar, and could he bounce back, and can he bounce back? And then you got Gerald Everett. I do think he leads the team in targets there. I actually like the fit. He's athletic. Will Disley hasn't been the same ever since the injury. So give me Gerald Everett. I'm buying low on him. Probably not. No, you're not buying low on him. But I'm willing to go out and get him with the upside. It's the upside that's intriguing, right? So that concludes our free agent recap. Anything that you want to leave the listeners with, Rye?
No. I mean, obviously, we say this all the time. Go out and leave us a rating review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. That helps us out more than you guys even know. So if you liked what you heard today, go leave us some stars and hopefully more than three. I'll even take a four, really, to be honest with you. Go like us on Twitter or follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Block. Check out the content at contenderconnection.com. And yeah, we appreciate you guys listening. Once again, it was fun, Tyler.
Absolutely. Thank you guys. We'll see you next week. And thanks for tuning in to Block in the Back.
Thank you for listening to Block in the Back podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Dynasty Fantasy Football related. If you liked what you heard today, hit that subscribe button, tell all your friends about us, and then hop on Twitter and give us a follow at Dynasty Block. Thank you, and remember, you are listening to Block in the Back.